Well, yesterday on December 19th, we had the appearance of the angel Gabriel to Zechariah to announce the birth of John the Baptist. Today we have Gabriel still being busy on assignments from God, coming to Nazareth, this place up in the backwater of Galilee. In fact, one of the apostles would even say, "Can anything good come out of this place?" And of course, so much good came out of it. Our Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, Jesus came from Nazareth. So it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. The sixth month is referring to the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. She's now 6 months pregnant. And now in that sixth month, that's when God sends the angel Gabriel on another mission, on another assignment. Again, the word angel means a messenger. This past Sunday, we went through this gospel in great detail, how this angel Gabriel, his name means the strength of God, was sent on many assignments by God in Scripture. In the Old Testament, 500 BC, he went to the prophet Daniel and told Daniel that one day the Messiah would come forth. And then Gabriel sent to Zechariah. Zechariah, as we heard yesterday, doubted that he could conceive a child at his advanced age, that his wife could give birth. And now the angel Gabriel comes to a young woman, Mary. Her name means in Hebrew, Miriam. It means in like an ocean of grace. So he comes to Our Lady, who's about 14 or 16 years old. She's officially engaged, betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The Messiah had to be born in the house of David. So the first thing he says to Our Lady is he greets her as royalty. He says, "Hail, hail, full of grace." What a beautiful title that he gives Our Lady. Full of grace. It's only used one time in the entire Scripture. In the New Testament Greek, it's written in Greek, the word is kacheritomene. I've mentioned that it means a completed action done to perfection. So Our Lady was called, "You who have been perfected in God's grace." After Mass on Sunday, a fellow came up who speaks Aramaic, believe it or not. And he had studied this in the seminary. And he said the word in Aramaic, who's most likely the angel Gabriel spoke Aramaic, is a beautiful word. I can't pronounce it. But it means that it's so full that it cannot even receive one more drop. Okay, so it's completely full to overflowing that it can't take any more. So Our Lady was so full of grace. She was the Immaculate Conception. He says, "The Lord is with you." Our Lady is troubled by the words. She's not shocked that an angel is visiting her. Everybody else, when an angel visits, they fall on their faces out of fear and trembling. They think it's God himself, like the shepherds. Whereas Our Lady, her dignity is greater than the angels, so she's not concerned that this angelic being of light is in her company. She's concerned about the words that he spoke. See, whenever you compliment a holy person like a Mother Teresa and say, "Oh, Mother Teresa, you're a saint," they get troubled by that. They get disturbed by that. And so Mary was troubled and disturbed by this beautiful greeting of the angel and wondered what it meant to her. So then the angel Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. If you're willing, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son and name him Jesus." The word Jesus means Savior. In Hebrew, God saves. And the angel Gabriel says that he will be great. He will have the throne of David, his father. He'll be a king, which means, of course, that Mary would become a queen, the queen of heaven and earth. And this kingdom will have no end. It'll be a kingdom for all eternity. Now comes Mary's response. Unlike yesterday when Zechariah doubted that it could take place, Mary doesn't doubt, but she asks how it'll happen, because she says, "I have no relations with a man." And the only way to understand this response is what the fathers of the church say, that Our Lady and Saint Joseph had already made a vow of virginity, of celibacy within their marriage, and that they were going to live a celibate life their entire marriage. Because otherwise, this response doesn't make any sense. She says, "How can this be since I have no relations with a man?" If Joseph and Mary had planned on a normal marital relationship, then they would have conceived a child, and yes, this would have been the Messiah. But they had dedicated their lives completely to God. Mary was going to be virgin her whole life. And so the angel Gabriel then explains that she would remain a virgin, but she would become a mother as well. It would be a miraculous birth by the power of God, the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit and the Most High. Just as the Spirit of God hovered over the waters of Genesis, a new life was created. So now the Holy Spirit will overshadow Our Lady in this mystical cloud, and that she would conceive the Son of God in her womb. The Blessed Trinity is revealed to Our Lady. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Most High, which is the Father, will overshadow her. The child, the Son of God, will be born of her. So Mary then realizes that, yes, she would remain a virgin, but also be a mother at the same time. And this would fulfill that passage from Isaiah chapter 7, the great sign of God, that a virgin would conceive and a virgin would bear a son. Miraculous. And his name would be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And just to prove that what he said could happen, he says, your elderly barren cousin Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant, for nothing is impossible for God. And Mary then says, I am the handmaid. In Greek, it's doulos, a slave. I am the servant of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. So immediately the incarnation takes place. The Son of God becomes incarnate in her womb, and Mary becomes a living tabernacle. She becomes a tabernacle not of gold, but of human flesh. She becomes a dwelling place of divinity. She says yes to God. She says yes to life. And in her womb, the Son of God begins to exist. So what we see in this passage is Our Lady's tremendous faith, her belief, her trust in God, her willingness to do God's will, even though it would be difficult because she would be an unwed mother. How would she explain this to St. Joseph? In fact, she never even tries. She leaves it completely to God, and God reveals it to Joseph in a dream. Mary has such utter, complete trust. She has this virtue of obedience, complete trust in the Lord. I think as we now continue with the Mass, what we should realize that at every Mass, we have an Annunciation. When we come to communion, we say, Amen. When the priest says, the body of Christ, we say, Amen, which means, so be it, I believe. And then the incarnate word becomes present within our soul, within our body, just as he became present in Mary's body at the Annunciation. So we can call the Annunciation Mary's first Holy Communion, because that's when she received the second person of the Trinity within her womb. And so at every Mass, every Holy Communion, is the incarnation takes place within us, and we then have Jesus within our heart and soul.